Very happy to speak to you all today. I guess life goes on, getting old, and figured out this week that you know you're getting old when you get excited about a new piece of medical equipment. But anyway, that's really why we're all here, right? Because we're all getting old, and there is going to be a last day for all of us. In the world today, in the religious world, there's a lot of different ideas about faith and works and, you know, what people call legalism and all such things. So, and I guess a lot of times we're accused of being, what we believe about faith, and that some people would accuse us, since we believe you need to be baptized to be saved, that you're somehow earning your salvation. That's a work, and you're earning your salvation. It's absurd. I mean, if you think about just one sin you commit, whatever it is in your mind to God, I guess there's no difference between a major or minor sin, but just one sin. Is there anything you can do, any work you can do, to make up for that sin? I mean, and if you could, that would be the idea of a legalistic salvation, right? That there's some work you could do to actually get your sin forgiven. And you think about it, it's absurd to think about, right? There's nothing you can do. There's absolutely nothing you can, there's no good work you could do. You could be a missionary to the worst place in the world and convert the whole country, and even that would not wipe out one sin. So we know it's got to be by grace. And the scriptures I read today, take nothing away from it. Our salvation is by pure grace, because we can't do anything. The greatest thing in the world would not wipe away, we did, would not wipe away one sin. So there's no way we can earn our salvation. And so today I'm going to read what I consider probably the most awesome scripture, the whole chapter. I'm going to read the whole chapter, Hebrews 11, but just keep in mind what kind of faith God would want us to do, what kind of faith is pleasing to God. Okay. So Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, though which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about the things not seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he is going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even one man, and him as good as dead, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand by which is by the seashore. All of these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of the country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham was tested, offered up, and he who had received the promises was gathering up his only begotten son. I'm sorry, was offering up his only begotten son. It was he whom it was said, "In Isaac your descendant shall be called." He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he received back as a type. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each one of his sons, each of the sons of Joseph, and worship, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, and he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as though they were passing through dry ground, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had encircled for 7 days. By faith Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient, after she had welcomed the spies in peace. And what shall we say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, Daniel, and Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness of which they were made, becoming mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mocking and scourging, yet also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with a sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in the deserts and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. So I just think that's the a great chapter. So we think about, just think what we're seeing there, the faith that God wants. The faith is an action faith. If you take nothing, forget everything else in that chapter. Faith is an action. There's God's part, but there's an action part on the part of man. There's a mental part, obviously, but there's an action part to faith. There's no doubt. And in James, you know, we read, it says, even faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe in and shudder. So faith is an action faith. We need to love God and keep his commandments. And that's the kind of faith that's a saving faith. Not this faith only. Faith only is dead. It is a dead faith. And not, we're not talking about earning salvation. As we think about it, we can't do one single thing. It's true. We can't do one single thing. But this, the other side of the coin, we must have an obedient faith that works. So I guess we get to the end here. Talking about corrections, we talk about the gospel and the steps of salvation. We must hear the gospel. Hear the beautiful word of God and understand that God wants us to believe, to repent, confess, be baptized into the forgiveness of sins, and then to live a faithful life. A lot of people in this world, I guess I call them, you know, John 3:16ers, right? They read John 3:16 and, yeah, I believe, and they're good to go, they think. But on the other hand, don't be an Acts 2:38er. Don't think just because you've been baptized doesn't mean you're good to go. We need to live a faithful life for the rest of our life unto death. And of all those, one we need to keep on doing, we obviously, really, baptism is the only one we don't continue on in. We continue in belief, we continue in faith, we continue to confess Christ, and we continue to repent. And I guess when you think about repentance, that's really the hardest one of all this. If anyone would be accused of being a work, it would be repentance. Repentance is by far harder than submitting to baptism. Matter of fact, it's probably purposeful that God used the passive voice. Am I using my grammar right? the passive tense for that word, right? Because you're actually not doing something. You're actually submitting to something and being baptized. You're submitting to be immersed. You're not doing the work. You're submitting to something. But repentance, that's hard. I mean, you're making corrections in your life. You're finding out what you've messed up in, and you're making corrections, and it's hard. And if you think about it, you know, how often should you repent? And I would say, my opinion, because I can't find anywhere in scriptures where it says really how often you should repent. You should do it often, right? If you're driving down the road, and you start to get a little bit off, you know, the best thing to do is to make a correction often, right? But not too often, maybe, right? Because otherwise you're a jitterbug, right? But, you know, you should do it reasonably, and not be hyper and go crazy and beat yourself up. But at the same time, you want to make those corrections and life and do it often. Often, like, you know, perhaps several times a day, you know, get back on track, whatever it takes. But, you know, don't wait too long. Don't wait too long. So, and if anyone has a need here to repent, or if you've never put on Christ, we're here to do whatever we can to help you and help you to put on Christ in baptism. If anyone has a need, please come while we stand and sing.